If you could take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 2. While you're turning there, I'll tell you a little bit about what the Lord is doing in our lives. God has called us to pastor in Grand Haven, Michigan. And that's near where I grew up. I grew up in Holland, Michigan, and enjoyed being down here in South Carolina for the past 9 years. And the Lord called us here after we graduated college, my wife and I, and kind of a roller coaster summer, and got married. Short honeymoon, teacher in service, and started working in Christian school here and here at Victory Baptist Church, and enjoyed our time here. I appreciate your ministry to me throughout the years, okay? I was 22 years old when I came here, and 22-year-olds, they don't know a whole lot, so I appreciate your patience, okay? Now that I'm 31, I realize I still don't know a lot, but at least I know that much. At least I know I don't know a lot, okay? And so, appreciate your patience with us, but we need your prayers there as we embark on that new adventure that God has called us to. When I think of all that needs to be done as we begin up there, the only thing that gives me confidence is that I know that the Lord has called us to do that. And so I appreciate your prayers as we head up that way. The Lord would help us. And here in 1 Corinthians 2, this is the attitude that I want to have in my heart. And I know many of you have displayed that here, and this has been my intention throughout the years, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 2. And so if you could pray anything for my family, it would be that we would do what Paul talks about here in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 2. Let me read that, and then I want to go back up to verse number 18 in chapter 1 and get some context. But keep verse number 2 here in your mind. It says there in 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Let's go back up to verse number 18 of chapter 1 and get some context here for why Paul says that. He says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath God made foolish? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is everything that we need. It is sufficient for us to live a life that pleases you. And Lord, we thank you for it. I pray you'd help us this morning as we examine these words of the Apostle Paul, that he determined not to know anything except for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that would be true about our lives, that we display that to those around us, that we are relying on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're relying on him for salvation, we're relying on him for sanctification. Lord, I pray that we would not put forth that idea that we have it all together, that we're able to keep up our Christian life because of our own strength or something in our own flesh, but it's all through the power of the cross. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us now as we look into your word. Quicken our minds, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're focusing this morning on that attitude that Paul displays in 1 Corinthians 2:2. "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." And I ask you this morning, is that the truth for your life? Okay? Have you made that determination that you are not going to display anything except the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Have you experienced God's wonderful transforming grace at the cross? You know, the Bible says that Christ died for your sins and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Does that describe your experience? Perhaps you've never trusted in Christ alone for salvation. The Bible says that that's the only thing. You can either do things God's way or you don't have eternal life. The Bible says, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. You can't get saved trusting in your own name. You can't get saved trusting in your own good works. You can't get saved trusting in your pedigree or your upbringing or what church you belong to. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ that a person can be saved. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. We're talking this morning about determining to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His cross, and displaying that in our relationships, and as we interact with one another, putting forth that idea that it's only by Christ and what Christ has done in our lives. But if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you haven't entered into that yet. And I would challenge you, today is the day of salvation. You can turn from your sin, understanding what that sin gets you. It gets you a ticket straight to hell. The wages of sin is death. But putting and turning to Christ for salvation, He paid your debt. In fact, the Bible says He is the end of the law. He's the fulfillment of the law for righteousness. He did everything that you and I cannot do. And when He died on the cross in our place, He made that payment for us. But if you do know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, does your life display that? Have you determined to share with the world the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you determined to make known the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as a means of salvation? What do people see when they look at your life? Do they see somebody who has it all together? And so they say, I could never do that. I don't have it all together. Do they see someone who never makes any mistakes? Do they see someone who is saving himself or herself? Or do they see the cross of Christ displayed in your life as the reason for your salvation and even the possibility of you having any kind of Christian walk, any kind of life that is pleasing to God? Do you point them to the Lord Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection? Well, let's look at Paul's pattern here, okay? Let's look at Paul's pattern. Paul's pattern had to do with the cross of Christ. And when he says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, what he is declaring is the sufficiency of Christ to atone for our sins. Christ is, again, the end of the law for righteousness. He was the only one who could perfectly please God with his life. The Bible says that there was no sin in him, and Peter says there wasn't even any guile in him, not even a hint of sin, not even anything slippery or slimy or anything kind of, maybe it's not outright sin, but it's kind of tricky. No, not even a hint of guile in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the cross declares his sufficiency, that we need him to be saved. But the cross also declares our neediness. When I'm showing the cross of Christ, I'm showing something about myself, that I don't have it all figured out, that I cannot accomplish my salvation on my own, and that I cannot accomplish even my Christian walk on myself. Romans 5, 6, Paul is talking about how God shows his love for us, that he was willing to send Christ to die for us. And in Romans 5, that's Romans 5, 8, in Romans 5, 6, Paul says that when we were yet without strength, what kind of strength were we without? We were without strength to save ourselves. We were without strength to live a life pleasing to God. And Paul goes on in that passage to compare Adam and Christ. Okay, Adam fell. And as Adam fell, we all fell. But Christ lived that life that was pleasing to God. But we, on the other hand, we were without strength to save ourselves. Our sin debt could never be paid by any effort of our own. And so when Paul says that he is determined not to know anything, when he goes to the Corinthian church and he establishes this church and he gets to know these people and he preaches the gospel, he doesn't know anything. He's not friendly with them because of what he can do, but what Christ has already done. And so if you would look here in Paul's pattern, I see that Paul preached the cross, okay? With his words, he preached the cross. Look at verse number 18 of chapter 1. He says, for the preaching of the cross. Paul was declaring with his words that truth we've been talking about this morning, that Christ came and lived a perfect, sinless life, but that he died on the cross in my place and in your place. The Bible talks about Christ as a substitution on our behalf, and Paul preached that cross. Look at verse number 23. But we preach Christ crucified. Everywhere that Paul went, whenever he had the opportunity, whenever anybody would stop and give him an audience, he was preaching the Lord Jesus Christ crucified. Let me give you some examples. Okay, let's go to the book of Acts and hold your spot here. We'll be right back. But Acts chapter 13, and Acts is an exciting book as we see how the Lord was using the apostles and establishing the church, and it is an excellent study to go through and see what Paul was doing and how Paul even gave his testimony when he wanted to witness to people. I love to see how Paul goes through here. But in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 14, we can see here that Paul is always ready to declare the cross of Christ. In verse number 14, he says this, "But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets," that's reading the scriptures, "the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Paul stood and beckoned with his hand, saying, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience." And what he does is he begins to preach the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if you look at verse number 28, you can see where he describes what Christ did. Verse 28, "And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him," and you can read about that in Isaiah, you can see the prophecy of how Christ would die. It very explicitly laid out how he would die for our sins. "They took him down from a tree and laid him in a sepulcher, but God raised him from the dead." And so Paul begins to declare that wonderful truth of the cross of Christ. And so this is the preaching of the cross. Paul could go in and say, "Hey, listen to me. I've done all these things, and I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews." We'll look at that in here in a little bit in the book of Philippians. Paul didn't do that. He said, "Look to the Lord Jesus Christ." He preached the cross. And what do we preach, okay? Because we get those opportunities, okay? Whether you realize it or not, people are looking at your life, and if you're a Christian and you know the Lord, you're going to have those opportunities to preach the cross. You're going to have those opportunities at work or at school or with your family. And when somebody says to you, "Tell me your story," do you preach with your mouth, when you have that opportunity, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you make known to those people that you come in contact with? Back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As we look at Paul's pattern, I see in his pattern that he did preach the cross, but I also see when we get to chapter 2 and verse number 3 that Paul lived out the cross. Okay, he lived in such a way that did not draw attention to his accomplishments, but to what Christ accomplished on the cross. Look at verse number 3 of chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's power, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Not only did Paul preach the cross with his words, but he also lived out the cross with his actions. And Christian, we get off track when we talk about salvation as only being a past tense event. Now, I trusted Christ when I was 6 years old, but you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ, through his cross, is still saving me to this day. That was not only a past action, although it is past and it is settled and I don't have to worry about my eternal security. I know where I'm heading, but even today, Christ saves me from a life of sin. It is only through that power of the cross that I can do the things that God has called me to do. And so don't give off the idea that you are currently being saved or that you are kept by your own power, or that you are able to live the Christian life by your own efforts, okay? Although we probably would not say that, sometimes we display that, okay? Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. God has given you opportunities in your life for you to look weak, and that is okay. As we face those difficulties and those trials and those challenges that we cannot handle in our own strength, we must go through them in a way that points others to the cross of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 9. We have here some red letters. We have some words of Christ as he speaks to Paul Paul is talking about the trials, physical trials that he went through, things he asked the Lord to take away from him, but God left them there for a reason. It says in verse 9, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Paul said, "I am actually grateful when things don't work out the way that I planned. I'm grateful when," he says, "necessities, when I can't pay my bills or I don't have what I need." Paul says, "I'm grateful for that because it gives me an opportunity with my life to live out the fact that Christ died for my sins. And I can point, even though I am weak, the way I go through that and the fact that God is providing for me and working in my life and continuing to save me and sanctify me, hey, I'm living that out loud before those that are around me. I am actually living out the cross." And so Paul understood here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that not only did he need to declare the cross, but he also needed to live the cross. He needed to go through life relying on the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ had granted him salvation, and Christ would continue to empower him to live his life for the Lord. Paul's strength was not sufficient, but Christ's strength was. And if I would pattern that, if I would make that same pattern in my life, that is what people need. They don't need to see somebody who can do things in their own strength and somebody who is perfect. No, they need somebody that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ and that even in their weakness, even when they don't have it all figured out, they can say, you know what, I can't do this, but Christ can. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we've seen that Paul's pattern was to preach the cross in his actions and with his words. But Paul here, when he says in verse number 2, "For I determined..." What I see here in chapter 1 and chapter 2 is that Paul is showing us that there actually is a danger here, okay? So we talked about Paul's pattern. Let's look quickly at Paul's danger. When Paul used those words, "For I determined," he's illustrating for us here that subtle danger that can easily creep into our spiritual lives. That's the danger of reliance on anything except the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So let's read verse number 2 again. It says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Do you have to determine in the easy things? No, you don't have to determine in the easy things. I determine that I will eat a lot of cake this next year, okay? We don't make a resolution to get fat in the new year, do you? Okay, I don't think. I determine not to exercise at all in this new year. No, we don't determine in the easy things. We determine in the hard things. And Paul says, "I determine not to know anything among you." So what that tells me is that Paul recognized there was a danger that things easily could creep into his heart that he would identify with more than the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Paul, from Acts chapter 9, when he got saved, when Christ called him, when he was converted, that you know he's years from that event. And very quickly and very easily, things could creep into his life that he would be glorying in rather than glorying in the cross. Okay, think about what Paul's task was. All right, he was to go to a strange city, preach the gospel, establish a church. I mean, quite a ministry there that God gave to him. Could he do those things in his own strength? No way. But you know, how foolish that Paul's flesh would tell him that he could. And I think you and I can identify with that pretty easily. God has given us an insurmountable task to live for him in a sinful and fallen world. Let me tell you, that's an impossible task. But your flesh and my flesh will lie to us over and over and over again and tell you, it's easy, you got it. You don't need the Lord today. Don't worry about praying. Don't worry about spending time in his word. Don't worry about relying on him and the Holy Spirit's power. You've got this. And I know none of you would ever say that out loud, and I feel foolish even saying it up here, but my flesh declares that to me over and over again. So there is a danger. I see that Paul faced the danger of relying on earthly wisdom. Look at chapter 1 and verse number 20. Paul says here, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world?" And I read that and I kind of laugh because when you look through the book of Acts, that is who Paul is. He is a wise person. He is a scribe. He is a disputer. And so turn over to Acts chapter 22. Let's look at some of those things. Paul recognized, I can't rely on that. That's what I'm good at in the flesh. But that is not what saved me. And that is not what is going to establish God's church and help God's church and allow me to accomplish the mission that God has given me. Acts chapter 22 and verse number 3. Paul says, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. When it came to it, there was nobody that had more earthly wisdom than Paul. The wisdom of the Pharisees, taught by the best teacher of the day. There was probably no better scribe than Paul. You know, when you read Paul's letters in the New Testament, and every time he says, for it is written, that's referring back to the Old Testament. He has a deep knowledge of God's word. But if that is earthly wisdom, if that is something that puffs me up or something I'm relying on instead of relying on saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and on that transforming grace that he provides, hey, it is all for naught, and it is a danger. Turn over to Acts chapter 17. Paul said, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? He said, where is the disputer? Paul could argue with the best of them. He knew all the talking points. He not only knew the talking points from God's word, he knew the talking points of the philosophers of that day. And so he's, oh, if I only knew more, I could really glorify God. If I could argue better, I could glorify God. Well, not necessarily the case. Look at verse number 16. This is Paul on Mars Hill, in a place where people would go and they would get together and they would argue about these things. Paul saw that, and I know a part of his flesh loved that, okay? He liked to dispute. You can see that. Look at verse number 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. And am I saying that you should never stand up for your faith and be able to argue and be able to follow through on those apologetics? No, I'm not saying that. I think that's a wonderful ministry and opportunity that Christians should be able to defend their faith. But if you're relying on that, that's a danger. Paul says, where is the disputer? That's not what brings folks to Christ, okay? What brings folks to Christ is when we point them to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul said there is a danger to relying on earthly wisdom. And so I challenge you, okay? Why do you want to be right about the Bible? Do you want to be right about the Bible so that you can win an argument? Or do you want to be right in doctrine so that you can more easily and more completely and more perfectly point people to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do you learn and read your Bible? Why do you study? Why do you go to Faith Bible Institute, FBI, on Tuesday nights? Why do you do those things? If it's to puff up your flesh, if it's so you can win the argument in the break room, you've missed it. You've fallen to that earthly danger. All right, we need to know those things. We need to know God's word so that we can better point people to the cross of Christ. Another thing that Paul struggled with, and you can see this, is that Paul struggled with his not only his earthly wisdom, but his earthly pedigree. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 3. I think back to how the Lord has blessed me in my life. Grew up in a Christian home. Some of my family, they would pride themselves on how quickly they could show back up to church with their new baby, okay? So that's the kind of culture I grew up in, okay? And so I think I was born on a Wednesday and I was in church on Sunday. I'm blessed in that regard. I'm blessed to have Christian parents. I'm blessed to have people that care for me. And I'm blessed to have a grandpa who was a pastor for many years, faithful to God. And I'm so thankful for that. But that's a danger to rely on those things and to say, hey, I know the Lord. I'm set as far as my eternity goes because of my pedigree, or I'm a good Christian because of my upbringing. Paul says, "Watch out for that danger." In verse number 3, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. If anybody looked at Paul's life, they would have said, Paul has it all together because of his religious, his pedigree. But look at verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Those things did not bring him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those things actually, in many ways, were a hindrance to Paul. Because Paul said, hey, I was zealous to persecute the church. I was zealous to do those things which made my flesh feel good, even those religious good works. Those things were a loss. And so watch out for these dangers. Do not rely on your Christian pedigree and what your family has done and what church that you belong to. We need to determine in all that we do to preach and to live the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we come to a close here, we've seen Paul's pattern. We've seen Paul's danger. And then let's look at Paul's determination here briefly again in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There's both a negative and a positive here in his determinations, all right? The first thing I see is that he determined not to rely on his flesh. In verse number 1, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." He determined not to rely on his flesh. In light of that truth, okay, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Paul would not rely on those things that do not bring salvation and those things that do not bring God's power. He determined that he would not rest on those things that failed, things like his physical strength. There were times when Paul's physical strength could not get him out of the trouble that he was in. He was shipwrecked a night and a day in the deep. Could his physical strength save him? No. His earthly wisdom could not save him. I mean, he knew the things that you needed to know from God's word, and it didn't save him. He needed to know the Lord Jesus Christ and his cross. Could his talent save him, or could his talent help him to accomplish what God had called him to accomplish? No. Most of the time, God called him to be in weakness, and so that folks would not see somebody that had it all figured out, but somebody that was relying on the Lord Jesus Christ. Could he rely on his past experiences to save him or to help him to walk worthy of what God had called him to walk in? No. On the contrary, Paul would only rely on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He determined not to rely on his flesh. And then we get to verse number 2. He did determine to rely on the cross of Christ. "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Since Paul was not going to rely on himself, he would need to constantly remind himself to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that would be a truly life-changing thing if people would meet somebody, if in you, if they had a coworker or a family member or a classmate or a friend, a neighbor who truly relied on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, who when they spoke about what Christ had done for them and not what they had done for Christ, who when they lived, they demonstrated in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, not that they had it all figured out, but that Christ was helping them to be the husband that they ought to be the wife that they ought to be the employee or the classmate or whatever job God has given you to do. They were relying on the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1:31, Paul says that according as it is written, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Not in ourselves, not in what we can accomplish, not in anything in the past or anything that our flesh has done, but only in the Lord. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, specifically the fact that it was necessary, I needed him to come to this earth to live that perfect sinless life that I could never live, to die on the cross in my place, to actually pay my debt on the cross. I needed him to do that, and I'm determining that I will live my life in a way that will show that. God help me to do that, because I've talked a lot about the uselessness of the flesh, and so I'm going to need the Lord's help. You're going to need the Lord's help to do that. By way of application, number one, we've talked a lot about the cross of Christ today. Do you know him as your Savior? Nothing will get you to heaven except putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It can't be your good works. You could have your name on the membership of this church and not go to heaven if you have not put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a Baptist church. We baptize those who proclaim faith in Christ, but you may have even been baptized, but never trusted in Christ for your salvation. I'm sorry, but the wages of sin is death. And even religious works that are done in my name and done for myself hey, they don't save. It is only the cross of Christ, his payment on the cross. And so I would encourage you, we're going to have an invitation here in just a moment to come forward and to get that settled. We'll give you somebody who can show you from God's word what you must do, but it's a pretty simple thing. It's putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, not trusting in your sin. Your sin sends you to hell. Turn away from that and turn to Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, your only way to heaven. But I wonder, Christians, am I determined to only display the cross, both personally? Okay, I have to tell myself this every day. I have to preach this gospel to myself, that it is Christ which saves me, Christ which enables me, Christ which helps me. But do I also display that publicly? When I'm in the workplace, and when I'm with friends, and when I'm with family, every area of life, this is not just a preacher thing. This is not just a pastor thing. This is something that moms need to be doing before their children. This is something that dads need to be doing in their homes. This is something that employees need to be doing in the workplace. That the things that I do, the life that I live, it's because of Christ and what he has done for me. And look for those opportunities. It may be doing the dishes, and that's an opportunity to glorify Christ. Why do I do the job that I do? Hey, I do it, and I do it for Christ. I do it because of what he's done in my life. And so determine and ask the Lord for help. I mean, again, we've talked over and over again about the uselessness of the flesh. Ask the Lord, hey, Lord, I need you. I'm determined to do it. Lord, I've made up my mind, and now I need your help. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I thank you that we do not have to do it ourselves. We do not have to do it in our own strength. We do not have to do it in our own flesh, in our own wisdom, in our own power. But Christ has already done it for us. He lived that perfect, sinless life that we could never live. He died on the cross in our place to save us from our sins, and now he ever intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit indwells us and enables us and empowers us to do those things which please you. Lord, help us never to say something that would take that glory away from you. Lord, help us to never do something that would take that glory away from you. But Lord, instead, help our actions, help our speech to point to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you'd help us. Help us to confess that sin of pride. Help us to confess that sin of self-reliance. And Lord, I pray that we would be determined not to know anything among anybody that we know except the Lord Jesus Christ.